Welcome to Horse Happenings with myself, Lindsay Partridge. In this episode, we're going to talk about mental illness and autism in horses. Can horses even have mental illness or autism? Well, we're going to explore this topic a little bit and go over a few things of my experiences in horses, of what I think has led me to believe that horses can in fact have autism or mental illness. Now, I think it's important to kind of bring up my background here and just remind you, if you didn't already know, I'm also a registered nurse and I have spent many years working in mental health and working on positive mental health. And I've got a lot of experience working with different clients and different people that have mental illnesses and have different struggles and challenges that they go through. And a lot of what I do with horses through the Harmony Horsemanship Training Program is bringing what I know with positive mental health, resiliency, overcoming fears and anxieties, and then bringing that into horses. Because even though horses are not people, we have the same emotions. We have fear, we have anxiety, we have worry, we have all of those pieces. And the strategies that we use with humans can be very helpful to horses as well. And that's kind of how the Building Confidence program in the Harmony Horsemanship online courses was developed, was based on those ideas of thresholds and resiliencies and how we tackle those issues. So when I bring that part of my background into horses, it leads me to think, well, we have things like mental illness and autism in people, so why not in horses? Because we're not that different when it comes to our neurological system, our brain, our hormones. A lot of the different pieces that are in us are also in horses. So it makes sense that we may have potential challenges or issues that are going on with our sensory systems or with our brain and our neurological symptoms, that there could be potential challenges there. And so some experiences that I want to share with you, actually pretty recently I was just having a conversation with a rider that's riding at the intermediate eventing level, and the horse she's working on, she said, I'm pretty sure he has autism. And I said, well, let me know, what do you mean when you say that? Can you expand a little bit more? And she said, well, he's really sensitive, he's really quirky about touch. He's a little bit interesting when it comes to saddling him. You kind of have to do things in a certain order, a certain way. And if you touch him when he's not kind of ready for it, even if you're touching kindly, he can be a little bit jumpy and not want to be touched and things like that. It's just, you know, kind of quirky. And so she was thinking that he has autism. And she said, well, and I think that because I have autism. And I said, oh, like, tell me about your autism. And so she's a pretty high-functioning autistic person, that because there's a spectrum there of what people can handle in that sensory overload. And she functions very, very highly, but she can have issues with sensory overload, with eye contact, with different aspects. And so she recognizes some of those behaviors in her horse as well. And this is a relatively new horse to her, new partnership. She purchased him relatively recently. And part of the reason why she got him was because he was so talented, but also she knew that he had these quirks and these issues. And she is a very talented rider and felt that she could kind of work with the horse on that. So I thought, how interesting that she believes her horse to have autism. And this isn't the first time that I've come across this type of scenario where somebody thinks their horse might have a mental illness or might have a neurological challenge or something like that. I was talking to another trainer and she was telling me about a horse that she was pretty sure that had some type of autism, just because very similar things to what this other trainee was saying about the horse being very sensitive, about the horse being very sensitive to touch specifically, that if you even thought about kicking the horse or adding more pressure, that the horse would become emotionally undone a little bit. Even though the horse was well trained and had lots of experience and was competing at a pretty high level, that it could still be very sensitive. And even though they were using kind cues and knowledgeable cues, that the horse could still be very overly reactive. And I've definitely seen other horses like that in my training where they can be very, very overly reactive, overly alert and sensitive, and seem to have a higher awareness and more sensitive in all of their different senses. And that could be a sign of autism, which is what we would be looking for in humans as well. So why not horses? And so that's what I think of when I'm working with different horses. The way that we make this make sense is, let's say we're working with a horse and we're noticing that they're overly reactive, or we're noticing that maybe their behavior pattern doesn't quite fit with what we might expect or what might be considered normal. Doing a little bit of that assessment and having a little bit more compassion for the horse and thinking, you know, is there something else going on here that's contributing to this? Now, in terms of mental illness, for me, I think about my horse's happiness and their social life, because horses are social and herd animals. They want to be with other horses. They need that interaction time. They're only asleep for about 4 hours a day. So to not be doing something in a stall for 15 hours a day, that's a lot of time. That's 11 hours. If you're only asleep 4 of those hours, that's 11 hours of kind of doing nothing. So thinking about the different ways that we can engage their brain, because we see different vices show up in horses, and those are products of being bored. And that can lead to different mental illnesses, or it could lead to different challenges that they could have, little neurotic behaviors that they can develop, weaving, stall walking, biting walls. It can even lead to ulcers and things like that. So there's lots of other pieces that we want to make ourselves aware of for how we can help our horses. So for example, a slow feeder net in the stall can help make the hay take a little bit longer to eat, and also give them a little bit more stimulation by having to use their lips to kind of get the hay out of those little holes in the slow feeder nets. It's just one example of how we can help our horses a little bit and help their mental health. My background being a public health nurse, it's all about positive mental health and trying to be resilient and prevent any challenges or issues happening. So for horses, how can we do that? Making sure that they get sunlight and time outside, making sure they get to interact with other horses. Even if you're worried about your horse, like maybe they're a really high-end show horse or they're very accident-prone, even if they can get turned out in a safe space, maybe it's a smaller, flatter type of paddock or even a round pen that the horse gets to go out in. If you're worried about them going out with a big bossy horse, maybe putting them out with a smaller mini or something like that. I've definitely seen that at some of the barns that I've had the privilege of coaching and helping at. They'll have some of their higher end horses that are worth a lot of money and understandably are very worried about them getting injured, especially when they've got big competitions coming up, but they might have a little mini horse friend that gets to go around with them and be a companion. So there are lots of solutions that we can do to help our horses, to support their mental health: getting outside, giving them a friend, letting them have time to roam and be a horse and express their energy. I've seen people give horses balls or toys in their stalls. You just have to make sure that it's something that the horse isn't going to get caught up in and get hurt or tangled in. I've seen people put lickets or salt licks in the stall so the horse can lick that. I've seen people put these different hay balls where it's a ball that rolls on the ground, and they can put kind of prime hay in that, or even treats in it, and as the horse pushes it around the stall, different hay or treats will fall out of the ball. Just things to help keep the horse a little bit more mentally engaged and try to prevent some of those vices from happening out of boredom, which might be leading to other mental health challenges with our horses. I've seen horses in fields sometime, out in the paddocks, displaying some behavior that suggests that maybe they're experiencing a mental health challenge. So horses that, even though are no longer stalled excessively, are still walking in a circle as if they are stalled. and doing the box walking that can sometimes happen, or they're weaving out in the paddock, they're weaving at the gate, standing there and weaving at the gate. Sometimes we see horses chewing wood or cribbing, which are other types of vices. There are so many different types of vices that a horse can display. And then we know that horses can get ulcers very easily, which is a physical sign of stress and can also be from riding, and it's kind of that overspilling of acid in the stomach, and that's a whole other topic that we could get into, is about ulcers. But we can see physical things show up in our horses, which can be contributed to from that mental aspect as well. So we really want to be thinking about this in our training, but also in our care of our horse. We want to think about that preventative aspect, and then we want to think about when we're working with a horse and they're struggling and they're having that issue, is it possible that there's something more to the picture that's going on? Is there something else affecting what's going on? And I'm going to give you guys a really recent example. I was just at the Florida Horse Park recently, and I was at a competition, and I was working with Alicia, and I had been filming some videos for a new app that we're going to be launching really soon, and she was doing super amazing. Like, we were doing Liberty at the Florida Horse Park in the cross country area, which is on grass with horse trailers all around, lots of distractions, completely not fenced in at all. And she was a total superstar. And we did some bridleless and a whole bunch of other stuff. And then she got a little bit of a break. She got to have a little bit of water. And then it was time for the competition to start, and she got ready to do the competition. And I didn't quite realize how long the competition class would take, because I thought, oh, I'm just signed up for one class, shouldn't take too long, and then she'll get back to the trailer. But the way this competition was structured, you would do two obstacles, and then you would go to the next set of obstacles where you'd wait for the next judge, and then you'd do those obstacles, and then you'd go to the next station and get judged by that judge on those two obstacles. So you were moving from station to station, but it also meant that you were kind of waiting your turn in line. And if the person in front of you took a little bit longer with a particular obstacle, then you were stuck there waiting for them to finish, and they had to do their two obstacles and then move on. So although it kind of made the day run faster because you had lots of people all on the course at the same time, it meant that your individual pattern wasn't just from one obstacle to the next, to the next, to the next. There was a lot of waiting in between. I'm not sure how long the whole course ended up taking. I would say it was at least half an hour. I'm not really sure how long altogether. But it meant that Alicia was out there even longer than I had anticipated, and she was starting to get fed up with the waiting aspect. And there was almost a kind of a bit of a mental switch that happened once we got to obstacle, I think around 12, and we were just coming to our last two obstacles, and she was really just starting to get kind of fed up with the waiting. She was starting to look around and starting to look back at the trailer. She was starting to get a little bit wide-eyed again and bringing her head up, and just kind of showing me signs that mentally she was feeling very stressed and feeling very kind of done with everything that had been going on. Probably a mix of being hot and tired and just, you know, exhausted from the things that I was asking her to do. Even though physically they weren't necessarily that demanding, but mentally I was asking a lot of attention from her. And so because mentally she was feeling strained, our last two obstacles didn't go particularly well because she wasn't able to give me 100% of her focus. And the last obstacle in particular was just walking onto a tarp, being blindfolded and lifting up her legs. I've practiced the blindfolding piece. She goes on tarps all the time. Should have been something that was a piece of cake, but because mentally she was kind of done for, I couldn't even do the blindfolding piece. I kind of put it on, waited for her to be still, and then I took it off because she was just so upset and not 100% there with her focus that it wasn't even possible to train it. And so that was a moment, not necessarily looking at mental illness or autism to that extent, but the idea of my horse's mental ability had been capped out. And so I had to adjust what my expectations were in that moment and how I helped her in that moment. And so I ended up just finishing with being able to rest the blindfold on her when she was still, took it off, and then I finished the little obstacle pattern of picking up her legs and walking forward without the blindfold on, because that's where she was ready. That's what she was ready for mentally at that time. And being aware of our horse's mental health and mental readiness is so important in the horse training, because we can prevent a lot of dangerous situations where the horse overreacts and reaches a tipping point where they kind of explode and hit that fight or flight moment, if we can just pay attention and help them in that moment. So if you have a horse that you think is maybe suffering from a lot of anxiety, or maybe they have autism and they're overly sensitive, whatever it is, we can still work with our horse and instead use that information to help us be more compassionate to our horse and try to give them solutions that are going to help them be set up for success. So I hope you found this interesting. I'd love to see if you follow us, you can drop us a comment on our blog, on our site. Let us know what you think. Have you ever worked with a horse that you think might have had a mental illness or mental health challenge or autism or something like that? We'd love to hear your story, and definitely drop us a line. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Horse Happenings with myself, Lindsay Partridge. Remember, you can always check out more great free resources and other information at harmonyhorsemanship.com, or check me out on my personal website, lindsaypartridge.com. That's Lindsay with an E, partridge.com, or harmonyhorsemanship.com. Thanks so much for listening, and bye for now.